All right, who's ready to get into the Word? I've got about 25 minutes. I can do this. I can do this. Watch me. All things are possible for those who believe. Anybody want to believe with me this morning that I can do this in 25 minutes? As we approach Easter, I thought it was so incredible last week that Will and I had not really spoken very much before he came, but he spoke out of John 17, and he referred to the fact that in John 17, we had this opportunity to listen in or eavesdrop into a prayer that Jesus prayed over us before he went to the cross. And there are actually multiple times in the last few days of Jesus's life where we actually get to hear the prayers that he prayed over us. Not just from the garden, not just from the upper room, but prayers that he prayed over us from the cross. And it's such a beautiful thing. There were seven sayings that Jesus had from the cross, but three of those sayings were prayers. And those prayers were, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. My God, why have you forsaken me? And into your hands I commit my spirit. And over the next 3 weeks, I am going to be diving into those three prayers. My daughter is so distracting right now. Little girl is so cute. I'm sorry, I just got distracted. But those are the three prayers that Jesus prayed from the cross. Father, forgive them. My God, why have you forsaken me? And Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And in order to really dive into those prayers, and I want us to focus on those prayers because we are continuing in this mission of Pray 22, that we want to, by the end of 2022, we want to be having 16 hours worth of corporate prayer meetings happening every single week. I believe that the Lord told me that he wants us to tithe the week to him in prayer. So there's 167, somebody that's good at math could help me out with that. There's about 160 plus hours in the week, and so the tithe of that is 16 hours. So I just continue to feel that the Lord wants us to tithe the week to him in prayer. And so we're walking towards that, and as we do that, we need to learn how to be more effective in prayer, and I believe you can't get more effective than Jesus's prayers. And the prayers that Jesus prayed from the cross are exceedingly profound. You know, I think sometimes because we are so accustomed to church that we've heard these prayers over and over and over again, that we've heard the Father forgive them. We've heard, my God, why have you forsaken me? We've heard, into your hands I commit my spirit. But for some reason in our hearts and minds, we can just hear those things very passively. And we don't actually dive into the depth of what those prayers actually mean for us as believers and the significance of them. And so I think in order to extract what the Lord wants us to extract from those three prayers, before we actually talk about any of them, I believe with my whole heart that we need to understand the purpose of the cross, or the why behind the cross. Have you ever thought about the why behind the cross? We're so accustomed to the story of the cross that I have to admit it myself, that there have been so many times in my life that I have just read through the narrative of the cross and just brushed over it. I've just walked through it, and instead of actually engaging with the text and being affected by it and transformed by it, I've just read it as another story. Another portion of the Bible, another three chapters to try and get through so that I can get my daily Bible reading in. But it is so significant and so profound, and when we understand the why of the cross, we can look at the prayers that Jesus prayed from there, and we can be affected by them in really profound ways. So the Bible tells us that the cross of Jesus Christ is foolishness to those who don't believe. It confounds the human mind to attempt to understand the mystery of the God of all creation stooping low from heaven, putting on human existence, and dying a miserable, horrific death for lowly creatures such as ourselves. It's like half of us barely like ourselves, so it's hard to imagine that God could even begin to like us, right? It's like there's so many of us, it's like, I hate myself, people think. I don't hate myself. I've been transformed by the love of God. But there's people who think that. That they're worthless, that they're not worth anything, that they're, how on earth could a God, a deity, this person without any need, this person without anything that he needs from humans, why would he come down? Why would he step down from his kingship? Why would he step down from his deity, come to earth and die at our hands? When you think about it, it's so hard to understand, but the answer to this question is laid out beautifully from Genesis to Revelation. Now, while some people restrict the gospel to like the first four books of the Bible, we in this church, we believe that the full gospel narrative is revealed from Genesis to Revelation. What does that mean? That means that the purpose of the cross isn't simply explained by Jesus's 33 years on the earth. It actually reaches back to the very purpose of creation and the activity of God before the foundations of the earth were laid. The purpose of the cross is not just found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. The purpose is actually found before Genesis 1. Some of y'all are like, there's no before Genesis 1. The Bible talks about before Genesis 1 on multiple occasions, and it's from those areas that we can extract the purpose or the why of the cross. So if you have your Bibles with me this morning, turn with me to John 17, 24.
That was good.
The water and the yell. So John 17, 24 in the New Living Translation says, Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you have given me because you loved me even before the world began. That is such a profound thing, that you loved me even before the world began. The Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, before the foundations of the world were laid, lived in perfect relationship, unity, and joy-filled communion with one another. Before there was earth, before there was sun, before there was Milky Way and Andromeda Galaxy and nebulas and all these beautiful things that we see in the expanses of the universe, before any one of those things existed, before there was matter, before there were atoms, before there were molecules, there was God in three persons living in beautiful divine unity and relationship with one another. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existed and loved one another deeply. Somebody asks you, well, what was there before the earth? Or what was there before God? There was nothing before God. There was just God enjoying God. There was just God really, really loving each other. Before there was anything, there was a family. A perfect family, a beautiful family, a holy family, a powerful family. Now, the timeline is immeasurable, and we don't get insight into when exactly this conversation happened. But at some point in eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit decided that their love was too good not to share with other people. They decided somewhere in the expanse of time that their love needed to reach beyond the circle of the three of them, and it needed to incorporate a creation of their own hands that could not just experience, but partake as an active participant in the relationship between the three of them. Again, we don't know when this happened, but we just see it in Scripture, where this is one of my favorite scriptures in Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. It says, all praise to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Get this. Even before he made the world. Can anybody say that with me? Even before he made the world. Before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance, somebody say in advance, to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Before God made the world, he chose you. Before God made the world, he said, I want them to be a part of what we got. Something that's really interesting about my father and son relationship with me and my dad is something, we're vastly different in a lot of ways, but one thing that's very similar about my dad and I is like when we buy into a product or something that we really like, we want everybody else to get that thing. Like specifically, we have this coffee maker that like we are all about. Like me and my dad are about this coffee maker. And if you go to any number of our friends' houses, there will probably be that coffee maker there. Because we decided that that coffee maker's too good to just be at our house. That there are, and Mocha Master, if you're watching us right now, I tell you right now, I'll do a sponsored, no, I'm joking. We're going for House of Prayer this year, not Den of Thieves. I'm sorry about that. I just got caught up and just said, all right. So we love that coffee maker. And so we tell everybody, we've decided everybody else needs to be a part of enjoying this coffee maker and this coffee. I've also got a coffee that I really, really love. And I tell everybody about that coffee. I think everyone should drink that coffee. That's kind of like what happened there. This is a very crude example, but it's what happened there before time began, before the foundation of the earth, that God said, this is too good. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, like they're just sitting there like getting along, like, I love you too. Like, you're the best. Oh, you're just so awesome. Like, you know what we should do? We should choose, we should create a creature who can be a part of this relationship that we have. And God, just the deep and profound, rich love of God overflowed into a desire for it to be shared. And that's what God was doing before the creation of the world. And again, God didn't just want recipients of this love. God didn't want just like a Fido, you know, a pet. He's just like, good doggy, I love you. Let me scratch your belly. Let me take care of your needs. God didn't just want a pet. God wanted active participants in his relationship. Titus 1 verse 2 says, resting in the hope of eternal life, which the ever truthful God who cannot deceive promised before the world or the ages of time began. Resting in the hope of eternal life. Friends, understand that eternal life was God's original intent for humankind before man ever sinned. God's desire for us to have eternal life was not after we were separated from him with our sin. Eternal life was plan A. Now, we have a tough time understanding that because for Westerners, eternal life is heaven. For us, eternal life is destination, not person. But the biblical narrative shows us that, yes, eternal life, a fraction of eternal life is destination. But again, that's a fraction. Eternal life is not where we're going. It's with whom we will be in that place. That eternal life in John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God. Eternal life is not, and again, you guys have heard me say this so many times, it's not just answering the right questions on the catechism or the doctrinal test. It's not just being able to say God's omniscient, God's omnipotent, God's all-knowing, God's all the, you know, it's not just that. It's so far beyond that. It's this is what he is like, and this is how much he loves me, and this is the way that he operates in the world, and this is the way that he wants me to operate in the world with him. That's knowing God. Knowing God is not getting an A+ on the theology exam. Knowing God is the same as knowing your best friend. Knowing God is the same as that person that you just love to spend time with, that person that you want to do all your hobbies with, the person that you're constantly inviting over for dinner and getting to know more and more, your fishing buddy, your shopping friend, I don't know what that would be called, but like those people that you go with those people all the time, that's eternal life. That's knowing each other, and God wanted us to know him in that way. And it says there in Titus 1 and 2 that he wanted that before the foundation of the world. That his desire to possess us in relationship with him wasn't just an afterthought. It was the thought. The thought was, I want a creation to partake in this relationship. And one of the most incredible things about this is we see evidence for this in the precise moment that humanity fell as the result of Adam and Eve's sin. In Genesis 3, 6 through 10, this is an incredible passage of scripture. This takes place right after Eve had taken the fruit from the serpent and given it to her husband. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took some of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves waist coverings. Now they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Something to understand about this scripture is that word walking there in the Hebrew implies intimacy and closeness. That God doesn't walk with people he doesn't want to walk with. That God came down. Now understand, God is all-knowing. So God knew that Adam and Eve had sinned, and he still comes down, as was his custom, to walk in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. That's big stuff. And the man and his wife hid themselves. God didn't hide. God didn't say, well, I'm just going to chill up here on my throne room now. I mean, because they've just screwed everything up. No going down there anymore. No, God, fully knowing what Adam and Eve had just done, came down. Whew, this is good stuff right here. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Not, where are you? Adam, where are you? He didn't come down the stairs, snatch him up, and beat him. You feel the compassion, the empathy, the deep love from a good father saying, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Here, it is evident that man's mind may have changed about God, but God's mind and intention remained resolute. God, knowing Adam and Eve had sinned, still came down in the cool of the day to engage with them. He came looking for the ones he created to share in relationship with him. He compassionately and lovingly said, where are you? It was here in the crucible of human existence that God first foreshadowed the cross and the lengths that he was willing to go to have what he wanted. In Genesis 3, 14 through 15, it says, then the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the livestock and more than any animal of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will make enemies of you and the woman and of your offspring and her descendant. He shall bruise you on the head, and he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Now this is an interesting shift in the creation narrative, because up until this point, we have God and man talking with one another. It's like, Adam, where are you? I heard you coming. I was afraid. I hid myself. What has happened? Who told you you were naked? The woman who you gave me. And then God says to the woman, what have you done? The woman says, it's the serpent. And then God says, the shift happens where God goes from just conversation to this poetic voice. Something that maybe a lot of people don't know is that most prophecy in the Bible comes from a prophetic stance. I mean, comes from a poetic stance. Prophecy is poetry biblically. And so God starts singing. God starts singing, and he sings this song that I will make enemies of you and the woman and of your offspring and her descendant, and he shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel. And this poetic passage of scripture orients us towards the cross. The seed of the woman was Jesus. I don't have time. I really wish I did, but I do not have time to go through every scripture that points to this. But the seed of the woman was Jesus, and the bruise the serpent would inflict on his heel was the cross. But it was also the instrument that would be used to crush the serpent's head. But really, ultimately, what this points to is the price that God was willing to pay to give us eternal life. This is why the cross may be foolishness to us, but it isn't to him. The cross isn't foolishness to God, because his intention all along was to have us. God dreamed you up. God thought you up. It says in Psalm 139 that before you were in your mother's womb, that he was thinking about you. He was writing the days of your life. He was dreaming about you. And so whenever Adam sinned and didn't change God's original intent, but changed the method that that intent was going to be accomplished with, Adam sinned, God didn't change his mind. God wanted the same exact thing. God didn't say, well, now they're useless and I have no use of them and I don't want them anymore. God said, no, I still want them. And he says, the price that I'm willing to pay is my own life. The price that I'm willing to pay is my son, Jesus Christ. Because I want to. Jesus didn't go to the cross out of obligation. Jesus didn't go to the cross because he was just fed up with you and sick of you. Jesus went to the cross because he wants you. John 3:16, for God so loved, not tolerated, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, relationship, knowledge of him, closeness with him, intimacy with him. Before the world was made, God chose you. God adopted you. God loved you. To understand this, you're the why of the cross. Oh, that's going to bother some religious people this morning. You are the why of the cross. You are the why of the cross, because you are the one that God loves. You're the one he loves. Come on. It's the truth. Before God ever made the world, he chose you to be the one that he wanted to love. That's the why of the cross. And as we step into looking into the prayers that Jesus prayed from the cross, this is what's going to make them make sense. And this morning, you may be in this room and you might be thinking to yourself, like, that's insane. That's not what I heard about God. I don't know what you're talking about, but the God that's been preached to me is angry and austere and stoic and doesn't give a rip about me except that I've sinned. And I can tell you this morning that God sees past your sin and he sees what he has always wanted. And with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you want to be a partaker of that love, if you want to experience the love of God, if you want to encounter the one who chose you before the world was formed, before there was ever an earth, I just want you to slip up your hand. There's nobody looking around. I'm the only one looking right now, and a couple of people that are just going to help me see you raise your hand. But if you want to give your life over to Jesus this morning, or you might say like, hey, I used to serve the Lord, but now I've gotten away from him and I want to give my life to him. I just want you to slip your hand up in the air, slip it up real high where I can see it. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Come on. Come on, all across this room. Thank you. I see that hand. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, guys. God's not done. God's not done. God's not done. He's chosen you. He's accepted you. He's loved you. I see that hand. Come on, somebody. This is what it's all about right here in this moment. Is there anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. Come on. I thank you. I see that hand. Woo, Jesus. I see that hand. Yes, sir. That's all right. Yes. Absolutely, buddy. Come on. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. All right, one last thing that I'm going to ask you to do. This is just a bold move. I just want you to grab your things, and there's going to be some people down here at the altar. Altar ministers, if you could go ahead and come up and receive the people. There's going to be some people that are going to be down here, and I just want you to grab your things, and I want you to come and make your way down here to the front. If you just raise your hand, come on. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Come on down here to the front. We've got some people that want to pray with you. We want to say a quick prayer for you, and then we have some people that want to pray for you. Come on, don't be shy. If you raise your hand, come on down. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on. Anybody else? Come on. It's all right. We're not going to keep you long. Don't be afraid. We don't bite. We don't bite. Yes. Oh, look at that sweet girl. Come on, Jesus. That's awesome. Thank you. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, make that bold decision for the Lord right here in this moment. Yes, absolutely. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Just real quick, everybody that just came down here, I'm just going to say a quick prayer with you. If you came down here, you can turn towards me. Altar ministers, you can kind of make your way behind them, but this is the best day of your life. Yeah, this is the best day of your life. This is not a day of shame. This is not a day of fear. This is not a day of condemnation. This is a day of joy. The Bible says that whenever somebody gives their life over to Jesus, that he literally throws a party in heaven. That's the God that we serve. He's not stiff-necked. He's not austere. He's not far off. He's not an angry God. Like, yes, God does get angry, but he gets angry over the things that separate us from him. So we're just going to say this prayer with real quick, and everybody in this room, I can tell you, they already love you so much, but we're going to say this prayer together. Let's all just say this. You can repeat the words after me. Say, Father, thank you that you chose me before the foundation of the world. You have always been thinking about me. And right now, in this moment, I repent forever rejecting that love. And I repent for living outside of that love. And I confess and I believe with my mouth and with my heart that Jesus is King, that he gave his life for me, that now you have adopted me into your family, and that you love me. I thank you that right now I am your child. My sins are forgiven. I am made new, and I am yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, if you guys just turn around, there's somebody right behind you. They're just going to take you right over here for a quick minute. They're just going to get some information in your hands, and they're going to pray for you. But come on, Covenant of Love, let's just give it up for these people that just gave their lives to Jesus. If you just follow this man right over here, you're going to have to jump up and down. You're a little bit shorter than that. I love you. Come on, Covenant of Love. Can we just give it up to Jesus right now in this moment? Wow. Thank you, Lord. All right, 6 minutes over, okay? 6 minutes over, guys. Please don't forget, Representative Elmer Floyd is going to be down here if you have any questions for him. If you want to give anything, you know, our offering buckets are going to be at the door. And we just love you guys so much. Let me say one more quick prayer over you and I'll release you. Father, I bless your people today. God, thank you for everything you did today, from breaking strongholds and breaking curses off of our lives all the way down to showing us the deep love that you have for us. Father, I bless your people as they go this week. Thank you for bringing them favor in their lives and everything that they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We love you guys, and we will see you next week.